My little daughter, Paisley, reminded me of where we were this morning. She said, Daddy, I believe that you left off at verse 22 if you're going back to 1 Peter this morning. Thank God for the children who are paying attention. Amen. It's getting more and more difficult in my house because God has given me these kids that are not playing. And they ask me questions. So we have to stay on it. Amen. It's a good thing. I love it. Tough kids. Amen. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22. I'm not going to be before you long this morning. I'm probably going to have to just kind of get into this and then return to it a little bit next week. Word of God, one verse. I'm only going to do one verse today. It says, seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, comma, see that ye love one another with a pure heart, fervently. I'm going to read that again. Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, comma, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently. Now, let me just say this. Most of us know that God calls the believer to love. We know that. That's not news to us. We are given a command. Love God, love your neighbor. Right? Most of us, if you have been in church for any amount of time, know that or have heard some speaker, some pastor tell you that you are to, specifically here we're talking about, love one another. Amen? How many people have heard that before? The whole... Raise your hand. I want to know if you haven't heard that. Gotcha. You've heard it. Okay. All right. This is something that we are told we must do. Now, this verse that we will unpack today is pretty much saying the same thing. And if you read through this verse quickly, then you will walk away with a basic understanding of this verse that says we are to love. And you will possibly or might be satisfied with hearing what you've already heard again. But if we unpack this, you will gain a better understanding of what God has done to ensure that we love one another. So that we will be encouraged to do what he said and not just know what he said. Amen? 1 Peter 1, 22. Seeing, knowing, seeing that ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth. Let's just take it one piece at a time. Seeing that ye have purified your souls, we see a small word here that you should immediately look at, and there should be a question mark that should jump up. Seeing that you have purified your souls. What? Wait a minute. You catch that, Pastor Rick? Seeing that you, something you have done. What? Hold on. That goes against everything that we know is true. I didn't purify myself. What are you talking about, Peter? Is this something that we have done for ourselves with our own power? See, you're thinking that. That's good. While you're there, turn to 1 Corinthians 6, verse 11. Help me with this, Lord. Before this, it gives a whole list of things we're not supposed to do that identifies us, whoremongers and liars, thieves and adulterers and so on and so forth. And in verse 11 says, and such were some of you, but ye were washed. Ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by, you see it? The Spirit of our God. So who really purifies? God did it. Not us. It says it very clearly here, Peter. It doesn't say we washed ourselves. It doesn't say we purified ourselves. It does not say that we did it. Stay there for a minute. All right? And then while you're there, stick your finger there and then go into Titus 3 and 5. Real quick. Just want to just make a real simple point. There's something that's fundamental that we need to understand here. Titus 3 and 5. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us. By the what? Here we go again. Washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. In other words, God saved us. Not because we were of the righteous things we've done. Alright? But because of his mercy. He washed away our sins, giving us new birth, new life through who? The power of the Holy Spirit. So why does it say, going back to 1 Peter 1:22, that we purified our souls? Is the Bible contradicting itself? Interesting. This is the hardest part of the message. I got to do it in the front. Let me say it this way. The work of God in your soul is the work of God in your soul. Yet the work of God in your soul is never separate from the desire or the will of the sinner. God commands you to do his will and also invites you to willingly participate in doing his will. So you're not a robot. This is a loving relationship. So at the same time when it says that God washed you, God purified you, if you were to look in James 4 and 8, we can put it on the screen. I want to move a little quicker. God says this, draw nigh to God. You do it. And he will draw nigh to you. Who? What's this? Cleanse your hands, ye sinners. You do it. And here it goes, right here. And purify your hearts, ye double-minded. What is he talking about there, double-minded? Your divided loyalty between God and this world. So what does God do? God does the purging and the purifying, and yet it is never apart from your desire to be purified and purged. How is that possible? How does that happen? Well, the Holy Spirit works in your life, works in your circumstances, works in your will to bring you to a place where you get sick and tired of yourself. And you come running to God, asking God, what do you want me to do? What must I do to be saved? What, how do you want me to live? Because I've been doing it my way for so long, I'm tired of it now. The Holy Spirit moves on your desires, working in your desires to come to a place where you agree with God. Isn't that something else? So yes, it's his work that does the purifying and the and a perishing. He says, I will create a new heart. I will give you a right spirit. And yet at the same time, I'm not going to bully you into it. I don't shake you into it. What I do is I work in your circumstances, in your life, where you go, I am so sick of me. How do you want me to do this from now on, God? See how that works? So yeah, in one sense, God did the purifying, and in one sense, you participated. You hear it? By his convicting you and bringing you to a place where you would say, yes, Lord. Amen? A little bit further. When you were saved, you were willing to be purified, yet it was the work of God. God caused the conviction. God moved the wheel. You did not save your soul. It was God that did it and gave you the power to now participate in the future of doing what he's asking you to do. Woo! All right, that's complicated. I'll give you a little bit more. Let's move on. 2 Peter 1:4 says this. 2 Peter 1:4. Let me say, when it says you have purified, that word purified has an element to it. When you are purified, it's the element of taking out of something that should not be there. Amen? Yeah, so let me give you a simple definition. You take something away from something else that should not be there. Amen? Something is extracted. You take the contamination of something out to make sure that it's pure. Amen? All right. So in 2 Peter 1:4, it also tells you that something else is happening. And I'll give it to you in just a minute. We are purged, stripped from our old sins. Yeah. Purify your souls. We are purged from our old sins, the sins of our past, but also purged from future sins that we will commit. Okay? So there's a past sense of purification. Purified. Where there's a cleansing agent, where the blood of Jesus washes away all of your sins, but also washes away your future sins. Amen? But in that purging element, there is also the ability to walk away from those future sins by giving you the power and the will to do the will of God. And we saw that in 2 Peter when we were teaching some time ago, where it says, verse 4 says, whereby we are given unto us exceeding great precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of what? The divine nature. So what's happening here? You were not only purged from your own sins, but you were also given something. You were given a divine nature. What are you saying, Pastor? God does not extract without replacing. Yeah, that's good. Still talking about love. God does not extract without replacing. So, something was taken from you. And at the same thing, something was given to you. Are you hearing me? The cleansing thing does not work because if you're only cleansed but I don't put in something new, then we're still working with what you have. There's got to be an infusion of the power of God to do the will of God. Are you hearing me? All right. So in 1 John 1:7, it says this. Oh, I love this. This blesses me. 1 John 1:7 says this. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, underline this word, cleanses. That's the same word as purify. Cleanses us from all sin. What does that mean? That word cleanses is in the tense of the now. It's in the tense of the present tense. It's the word continually cleanses us. Are you seeing that? Not cleanses in the past only. cleansing you right now, cleansing you as you go forward. Woo! Watch this. God not only forgives my sins of the past, He not only plans my forgiveness for the future sins, but He also continually cleanses me from sin, purges out sinful nature, and then replaces it with more capacity to obey God. Okay, that's difficult, but let me give it to you like this. Which means as we continue to walk with God, He continues to strip away things that are not like Him. So He strips away my default selfishness and replaces my default selfishness with more capacity to what? Love. The love of God is shed abroad in our hearts. What does that mean? It's over and over again, more and more as I continue to walk with God, I have more capacity to love. Ooh. He's taken away, I don't have time for you, for what do you need me to do for you? Oh, help me somebody. My selfishness gets dealt with. I have more, which gives me more ability to love, watch this, at His command. All right, now let's put this back together. Go back to 1 Peter 1:22. Seeing that ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth. I am continually walking with God. The believer is continually walking with God. We have purified our souls the moment we receive the truth or obey the truth. And what's the end game? To love one another. We'll get to that in a minute. But how did we do it? When did we receive this power? I'll tell you when. By obeying the truth. That word in means by obeying the truth. So, you purified your souls in obeying the truth. We understand, of course, that it is God who purifies the soul when we are saved in the strict sense. But because we do not have the power to do this in ourselves, we don't present purity. In a figure of speech way, Peter is saying that we experience purification and cleansing the moment we believe the truth. Oh. So, when I said I believe the gospel, when I said I believe that Jesus came, that He died for my sins, huh? That he on the cross took all of my sins upon Himself and imputed righteousness to me. Uh-huh. So when my sins were dealt with on Calvary, and then He got up again and rose and ascended to the Father, when I said I believe that at that moment, I am now obeying the truth. And inside obeying the truth, I also have the ability to do the truth. To walk in the truth. Because the Spirit of God continually cleanses me. Continually cleanses me. I'm dropping off stuff and getting something new. The more I walk with God, I'm not my selfish person that I used to be. I'm trying to tell you, you've been given something. Ah. When did you get it? When I believed. When I received Jesus Christ, when I obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, that power to further obey Him came with it. Ah. Obeying the truth, you were given power to obey when you obeyed the gospel. You receive at that moment the ability to obey God when He says to love. Did you get that? How do we get it? By obeying the truth. Almost done. Not going to be before you long. Now, watch this. Go to Acts 17:30 real quick. Just kind of further prove this point. People, the people were in gross idolatry, believing in false gods, worshiping things that were not God. And God said something very simple, and I want you to kind of just notice the second part more than the first. Acts 17:30 says, and the times of this ignorance, God went dead. He said, okay, you didn't know any better. But now God commanded all men everywhere to repent. Timothy says it is God's desire, God's will. He wants all men to be saved. Right? But God commands all men to repent. He commanded all men everywhere to repent. Now, let me just say something that may not be obvious to you. The command that all men repent of their sins starts with the repentance of not believing the gospel. Okay? Turning from your unbelief. That's the beginning. The gospel of Jesus Christ and who Jesus Christ actually is. Right into, from me believing that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. And no man comes to the Father but by him. That's door one, which leads you to door two, which is right from there into turning from my rebellious lifestyle. Where not only is my foundation right, that I know who I believe in now and I trust in Jesus Christ to save me, now I'm also trusting in him to save me from myself on a daily activity kind of basis. Amen? So I go from believing the gospel into, okay, well, how do you want me to live, Lord? Right? All right? And so now he redeems me or saves me. It gives me power to step away from what I used to do, what I used to be. Amen? It's true that when we see this, that God commands all men to be saved, it's obvious that some people obey that command, and it's obvious that some people do not. So what I want to point out to you today is this, really simple. Those that obey the command of the gospel are those that have the ability to obey the further commands of Jesus Christ. If you have not obeyed the command of the gospel, you have no power to obey the commands of Jesus Christ. Very simple. I just want to teach simply. That means when God says for you to love one another, there's only certain people who have the ability to do that. And there are those who do not. And it starts with, did you believe the truth about my son? Well, Jesus is love. If you don't have Jesus, you don't know how to love. Right? So when it says love your neighbor, you know, then the only ones that can actually really do that are those who are shown up saved. We just love one another. The only one that can actually do that are the ones that are shown up faith. That's why sometimes we can be sitting here with a churchy come across and send the wrong signal to the world, because some of us have not really believed in the truth of the gospel and we have no ability to love. And when the world looks at us, they're going, what are we seeing here? This makes no sense. I thought you said you was a Christian. Well, something's wrong with your love. Well, why is there something wrong with your love? Because you have not believed the gospel. Christ is not in you, so you can't live like he wants you to live. You can't love like he wants you to love. So some can, and some cannot. And the dividing the factor of that is whether or not you have really received Christ. Whether or not you really believe the truth. Because when you know that you have that power, then it's going to change how you move and how you live and how you deal with one another. You see what I'm saying? I don't want to get it. Slow down, Pastor. Slow down. Back to 1 Peter 1:22 again. This is packed, so I got to take it piece by piece. God commands us to love. Those that have obeyed the first command can go through with the next command. All right, so you purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit. Okay. The agency of the Holy Spirit and his office is to apply truth to the mind. I can hear the truth, but if I don't have the Holy Spirit's ability to make that truth have an influence on my life, I can't do the truth that I'm actually reading. Are you hearing? Through the power of the Spirit. However precious that truth may be, that truth only has results when the Holy Spirit gets a hold of that and says, now this is what it looks like. This is how you display that. And also, I get the excitement to do what God is saying. When the Holy Spirit comes upon me, I go, ah! I don't just understand it. Now I'm looking for opportunities to do. How do I love? What do I do? What do you want me to do, God? That doesn't come from me. That comes from the power of the Holy Spirit, where He activates you into doing the will of God. Amen? I can read it as a theologian and never do it. The Holy Spirit comes upon you and says, now, here's the power and the desire and the ability and the looking for opportunities and the steadfastness and the endurance to actually do it. Amen? That's how it happens. So it'll never produce the effects that you want to see or that God wants to see without the power of the Holy Spirit. Are we understanding? Am I clear? All right, so Pastor Rick said this verse. Don't turn to it just there. Trust me. Ooh, I sound like my daddy. Hebrews 13:1. He just prayed it this morning. Let brotherly love continue. Key word. Let. Alive. Not just do it. No, don't get in God's way. You've been given power. Now yield the Holy Spirit. What does He cause us to do? What does He cause us to do? Seeing that you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit, I've read the command, I have power to do the command. To what? Not just love the brethren, but unfeigned love. Here we go. Unfeigned love is the opposite of hypocrisy. Where your love is genuine. It's sincerity of your love. And the pure heart kind of goes along with it. It's void of pretension. It's love where it's so true, it's not phony. It's not putting on an act. It's Sunday. I better look like I love you. You know what I'm saying? There's some people that look really loving at church. You know what I'm saying? How you doing, brother? Oh, God bless you, brother. God bless you. God is good. God bless you. Is there anything? Can I get you some coffee? Is there anything you need? No, you take my seat. God bless you. I just love the body of Christ. I just... Phony! That's not what Peter is saying here. It's a sincere love. It's genuine. That's not put on an act. Because here's the problem. When you don't understand the kind of love that he's talking about, you won't be able to be consistent. You'll fall apart one Sunday. And we won't be able to see what's really in you. What are you saying, Pastor? When he says love of the brethren, that word is agape love. What is agape love? Agape love is not based on feelings, so it won't be sometimes. Help me, Holy Spirit. It's not activated by feelings, so it won't be fake and hypocritical. It's a love, actually, let me give you another definition I learned this week. Agape love is activated by command. So it's not based on how I feel about you. Because my feelings can change. The question is, will I love on you when God said so? Because what? Because God commanded it. It's not based on whether I like you or not, whether you offended me or not. Whether we agree on everything or not. No. God says love, therefore the believer loves. How did that happen? Well, let's go back. Because if I obey the gospel, if I obey the truth by command, then God is saying I'm capable of obeying the other commands that he's given me. Which is telling me that when God says, I want you to love on sister so-and-so that you can't stand, that's the test right there. You know good and well, you prayed about the fact you don't like her. God help me. And then God says, well, here's your opportunity. Go love. Then the question comes, am I going to go based on what I feel? Or am I going to go based on what he commanded? Because faith, people, true faith is not about feelings. When you say, I've got true religion, faith always comes in one area. This is how you test it. Do you obey God? There is no faith without obedience to God. When he says obey the gospel, you obey the gospel. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that he died for my sins, that he rose again on the third day. He's going home. He's taking me home with him. I believe that. I obey God. I live my life based on that. So when it comes down to me loving on you, it will not be out of how I feel. It'll be based on just like it was the gospel. You believe the gospel? Right. Well, do you believe that I'm telling you to love him? Yeah. Now go love. Whoa. It's not about, no, your feelings have nothing to do with this. Whoa. When you think about it, because you respond by command, this kind of agape love, amen, has the ability to be more consistent because it's not based on how you feel. So, which means the believer, when they realize what God has done, has the ability to display love more often on a consistent basis because my feelings don't get in the way of what God commanded. Love what? You'll get it. Love, unfeigned love. Unfeigned love. Not hypocritical. Pure, genuine love. Agape love. Consistent love. As responding to command, which means my love is dependable. Of who? The brethren. Respond in love to the brethren. This one doesn't say your neighbor. This says the brethren. Now that you have purified your souls in obeying the truth of the gospel through the power of the Holy Spirit, which showed you how to apply it, let unto unfeigned, non-hypocritical, pure, genuine love, love your brethren, love on the brethren, see that you love one another. Now that you realize you've been given the power, get to love it. That's not amazing. That's a wow, Pastor. That's what that said. That's what that verse said. Get to the loving. Where is the love? Where is the love? Where is the love that you said you give to me? Where's the love? Right? Now that you have the power, now that you know that you received it. Now that you know that you've seen that you already obeyed the gospel. Seeing that, understanding that, since you have given your life to God, give your life to your brothers and sisters. That's the foundation. That's all he's saying. Let the brotherly love continue. Allow God to use you in the area of love. 1 John 4:7-8. Beloved, let us love one another. For love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. Here's the clarification. He that loveth not, knoweth not God. For God is love. Back to verse 7. Let us love who? One another. Let us love one another. Love one another. Back to 1 Peter 1:22. And what kind of love is it? Not just agape love? With a pure heart, fervently. Now this word, fervently, it means intense affection. Do you display intense agape love with affection that I just love you. Is that how we treat each other? Do I respond to God's love on command despite how I feel? And is my feeling for you, you know, the source of it, is it like an intense love? Fervent heat? That's a believer. I just love her. That's my sister. That's my brother. Don't you talk about my family, but that's my family. There's an intense, fervent love. Is that the kind of love we're showing to one another? Oh, it's quiet in here. See, that kind of intense affection adjusts your calendar. Oh, yes. It's not a formal love. Not a Sunday-only love. It's ready to lay down your lives for your brothers and sisters. It's that kind of love. Do we have that? Yes. What's the problem? Are we yielding to the Holy Spirit to display that? That's the question. Because what Jesus Christ has shown us here through Peter's writing is that you have no excuse. Because if you're a believer, you already possess the power. That's what it's saying. Well, I don't have time for you, liar. Well, it don't take all that. Get to dust, liar. That's what he's saying. He's putting the screws to us right now. He's saying, listen, I have given you. You say you're saved, then that means you have the love. Why are you not displaying it? What's the problem? That's basically what this verse says. I can't give to you that. What do you mean you can't? Those two things don't go together. That's hypocrisy. Something's wrong. Whether you have that love and you're not showing it, or you don't have that love and can't show it. No in between. Woo! That's hard, but it's the truth. He's saying you've been saved. The power of the Holy Spirit shows you how to apply it. Huh? Where's the love? I don't want to be with the church that much. Why? What is that about? Ooh. Is something wrong, or more importantly, is somebody missing? That's what it comes down to. Wow. You hear that, Kamal? So, here we go. Sum it up, Pastor. I'm almost done. If you are a believer, have the ability now to love in a way that you were never empowered to love before. Before salvation, you didn't have it. As we mature in God, we let go of our selfishness, and He continually cleanses us and gets us to walk away from me and me only and mine only. And I become empowered to love. Huh? And I, through the power of the Holy Spirit, yield myself to what God is saying and start loving. So He's saying, you didn't have this before, but now you do. So no one can expect true piety, true religion, beyond the amount of effort which he makes himself to be conformed to God. Woo! Any more than anyone can expect to be wealthy or famous or have any level of learning without great self-exertion. Do you want to be rich? But you won't work. I want to be a genius, and I never go to school. I want to play the piano. Never get a piano. Never practice piano. Just look. Church members, just look at the piano. I got one. I ain't playing nothing. You see what I'm saying? The power is there. God does not force your will. He calls it, if you have that power, He's working with your will. So there will be a display, and some effort behind what you say you have the power to do. Woo! I am a Christian. Where is the love? I should have changed the name of the message. That's, there it is. Where's the love? Got it, Dave? All right. Because that just keeps coming up. So now that you have it, here's the big word for us today. Exercise what you have. It's that simple. Exercise it how, Pastor? In very big ways. Not small ways. What does that look like? Well, I helped the old lady across the street. I said, no, that's not what I'm talking about. No, that's not what I'm talking about. Give your love in very big ways. Give of yourself. Give of your money. Give of your time. Raise somebody else's child. Help some widow that just lost her husband. Help the orphans, huh? Adopt a single mother who you know is raising her children without any husband and is struggling out there. Say, come on, baby, I got you. I may not have gotten any help, but now that I'm saved, I can't help but help you. I can see you. What kind of Christian can see his brother needing a coat and won't give him a coat? That makes no sense. Huh? Listen. Here we go. Let somebody stay in your home until they get up on their feet. Woo! Reach out to somebody that does not have what you have. Help them in big ways. Spend hours at a time dealing with someone who you know loves God but is struggling with sin. Baby, let me tell you, you can be delivered. Now come back tomorrow and change everything. That's big. That's love, people. How many hospital visits did you do last year? Did you only go to your family's hospital errands? Did you only do for your family? Oh, it's quiet up in here. Pray for me and my mama. But when it comes to your mama, oh, well, God bless you. Yeah. Did you go see their mama? Say something. It's just like. Was it your family only? Is your calendar filled to the point where you can't set any time aside to visit the elderly? Here's a big one for you. Do you know any lonely people? Loneliness is a huge problem in the body of Christ. It's huge. You get saved, you lose all your friends, they don't want to talk to you no more, your family threw you out because you decided to trust Jesus. I don't have the support system I used to have, and I feel like my whole family has deserted me. Well, thank God you have another family you've just been adopted into called the church. The body of Christ. Where's the love from the new family believers? This love is specific. Now end with this. Well, Pastor, are we supposed to love the world? No. Wait a minute. For God so loved the world that he gave it. That's God. You're not God. Jesus gave us very specific instructions. Now watch this. This blew me away. The exhortation is to love the one another. Who is he talking about? Love your brothers and sisters. Love your brothers and sisters in Christ. Now I'm not saying you can't help other folks, but he's saying that fervent, hot, intense, heated, passionate love, that's agape love, that is love on command, that is reserved for the church. Why, Pastor? Why? Well, hear me for a minute. The exhortation to love one another is especially timely for people who are going through persecution because it is well known that under conditions of hardship, trivial disagreements take on gigantic proportions in the church. What are you saying, Pastor? Don't forget, the context of this first chapter of Peter and all of 1 Peter is basically this. They're dealing with Nero, remember? And Nero has lied on the church, and they're under major persecution. Folks are getting killed, and under those kind of circumstances, people have a tendency to shut up their love and think of themselves. Not only that, when I'm going through a bunch of stuff, I really don't have time for anybody else's stuff. Pastor, I need it. Well, I'm dealing with something right now. Sister Johnson, can you help me? No, I got to do for me. You hear me? I love you, but hey, my love is a little cold today because I got circumstances and situations. Have you seen my bills? But I just need $5. No, I can't. I can't help you. Why? Because I'm going through. When's somebody going to help me out? And then we get arguments because I'm dealing with stuff and you're dealing with stuff. So when I come in with my stuff and your stuff, and God has commanded me to love you, and you acting evil and I'm acting evil, and we get into arguments about silly stuff. And we do all that stuff while the world is watching. Are you catching it? There it is. See, the historical context is we're going through much persecution, and it's easier to start fights and to get into squabbles with people and disagreements and turn small things into major division and separation because I'm dealing with pressure from the outside circumstances. But when you have the love of Christ in you, the one who took the nails in his hand, the one who was pierced in the side, the one who was rebuked and spit on and dealt with all kinds of stuff. Trust me, you're not having that kind of a day. I'm going through, but it ain't that. I'm not wearing a crown of thorns on my head all day and folks calling me out my name when I'm dying for their sins. You're not dying for people's sins here. You're not having that bad of a day. And Jesus is saying, in spite of all that, I can show fervent love to the people. Come on, somebody. Are you getting this? So whatever you're dealing with, there ought not be a day when you come in and go, wait a minute, let me readjust myself. Let me rethink this. Hold on. What you need, baby? What you need? Hold on. Why? Yes, we have struggles. Yes, we have times. And yes, sometimes we'll miss it. But we need to be cognizant of this fact. While we're missing it, the world's going, told you. They ain't real. I can go out, I can get to an argument by myself. I don't have to go by, I can argue with my unsaved mama. I don't need to go to church for that. Are you hearing me? Somebody over there is dealing with their mama. They're laughing. Listen. When you have the love of Christ, and it can supersede all the other things. You follow me? And that's what God is calling. That's why it's agape love. It's love on command. Not love how you feel. Love on command. I obey the gospel. I can obey Jesus when he said to love sister so-and-so. Even though we may have doctrinal differences. I didn't say major ones. But I can't help sister so-and-so because she speaks in tongues. Or I can't help sister so-and-so because she don't speak in tongues. Who cares? You have a need here. Don't let that petty stuff get in. I have leaders over me that know how I flow when it comes to certain things. They know, and they don't come in there and say, Pastor Hawkins, I'm going to change everything about you. No, they don't do that. You know what they say? We're going to love you regardless. And you know what that does to me? It causes me to love them regardless. And people see people who don't have exactly the exact doctrinal change in a situation going, I see these people loving each other. How are they doing that? That's so not like the world who can get mad about the smallest thing and cut folks off and see people in need and be like, well, we got a problem. We got issues, so I can't help you. Are you seeing that? Or church preferences. That music is too loud over there. They're too quiet over there. Whatever it is. Whatever the situation is. Huh? Minor things. Christian preferences. And we don't show love. I'm trying to tell you that we're getting tricked. The enemy is sending folks to watch you while you don't love folks. You see that? That happens. You see it on Facebook. See, I went to church and these people were just evil and mean and blah. I see it. I see it. We're getting in the way of the love. Now, there's some major doctrinal things that we don't want to part with. You know what I'm saying? But here's the point I'm trying to make to you. You know, the deal is that you got to be prayerful about these things, number one. But number two, don't let that be the reason why you don't help. Why you don't love. Why I don't respect you. Why I don't show love to you. Why? Because I'm missing the bigger point when I do that. John 13:34-35. Last scripture, we're done. A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. Ooh, you ready? By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, that ye are my followers, that you are doing what Jesus said, that you are following after Jesus Christ. You want to win the world? You don't have to so much overextend yourself to the world. God is saying, overextend yourself to your church while the world is watching. That's what he's saying. Overextend yourself. Show agape on command love that's fervent and hot and intense. That's not hypocritical to your own brothers and sisters right here. That will prove to the world that we're following Jesus Christ. Have you seen those Christians? They just, man, that church, I'll tell you, they sure know how to love each other up in there. Have you seen them? I heard the craziest thing. She just let her come and stay until she got together. I mean, and now she's doing better. That brother, he's a single father with no training, never had a father, and this older man just kind of took him on and started helping him and training him with the family and stuff like that. You know what happened with me? I come from divorce. Okay? I came from a family of divorce. Where did I get my philosophy on family? I tell you what, Pastor Daniels and Brother Dove said, let me show you how we stayed with our wives all these years. And they loved on me. And they gave me principles. And Pastor Daniels would come to my house in a minute and be like, you got to cut that out. And do it now. I'm watching you. Your church is watching you. I'm holding you accountable. I had to get something I had never seen. They taught me. Are you hearing me? They showed me. They took time out of their busy schedule and their churches and said, we better love on this little chocolate skinny boy so he don't embarrass us. Let's tell him the truth. Give him an example. Are we doing that for our brothers and sisters? Are we doing that? Love on your church family. He did not say you have to overextend yourself to the world. Let the world see the people of God loving on the people of God. And that will convince them to maybe want to be part of the people of God. Are you getting it? Wow, have you seen those Christians? I've never seen love displayed that way. They must know God. They look like the Jesus they claim to know. I see them doing something. They respond. I know that this person has a problem with that person, and yet they don't let that get it. What? How in the world are they doing that? How did they accomplish that? I tell you what, the love of Christ is shed abroad in your hearts. And then, John 1:7, continually cleansing you. As you keep going with God, as you keep walking with God, what is he doing? He's changing you. He's changing you. He's letting you notice the opportunities. You don't just walk past something and you notice that, didn't you? What can I do about that, Holy? I'm praying about it. How can I help somebody? How can I do that? Now, let me just say some real obvious people. And I said it before and I'll say it again. You can't do that if you don't actually come and see the people on a consistent basis that you're in church with. We got a lot of sometimey attenders that come when they feel like it. That's not agape love. I'm going to go be with my family because God has commanded me to forsake not the assembly of the brethren. I don't care how I feel. I prove that that God is in me when I do past what I feel. And I do what he commands. I'm going to look right in your face as I'm talking right to you. Because some of it is ridiculous. Folks got needs and you would never even know about it. Because you're so wrapped up in yourselves. You want to finish the message? Huh? Me and mine does not look like Jesus Christ. I'm sorry. It doesn't. We need to be more consistent, not just because I need a word from me. I need God to speak to my heart. I'm dealing with something myself this week. We need to be more consistent so that God can mature me. You know how he matures me? You know how he matures you? By getting you to do what he said. How does he do it? For your brothers and sisters, the one and others, the bear one another, forgive one another. You can't mature if you don't do that. If you're not coming to see folks. And not just on Sunday. How can I help you during the week? What do you need? Now, I'm going to say this, that we need to tighten up on that, but I also need to be honest with you. I'm very proud of this church. Because lately, I've been hearing some stories about folks giving, loving, sharing. We got people that fix things for folks. Folks that needed money for bills and stuff like that. And people just come out of nowhere. But what I'm saying is that we need more people doing that. Why? Because the world is watching. The world is watching. How do people know that we are disciples? By the love that I show to Deborah. The love that Deborah shows to me. And so on, and so on, and so on. When you isolate yourself, and you only deal with your problems, you don't look like Jesus. Because you're not taking the opportunity to display Jesus. Are you hearing me? So, fan the flame. Now that you've been given the power to do it, there's no excuse. God says, exercise. Exercise your love. God, show me how I could do this. What's happening with me now is God is telling me, he put somebody in my mind. Stop what you're doing. Call. Right now. Stop. Call. Right now. Huh? I don't have to be some prophet. I don't have to get up there and say, I'm special. And God speaks to me. No. Just, I'm deep. No. Just call. How you doing? I'm so glad you called. I'm dealing with this situation. I didn't even know anybody. Wow. A lot of times, pastors, how did you know? I didn't know. I'm not going to read your mail and tell you the business. I didn't know. All I did was say, yes, Lord, I'm going to pick up the phone. How you doing? And they're going to go, well, what happened to us? And I go, well, now I know to pray. Now I know to support. Why? Because I followed the Holy Spirit. He told me to call, I called. It's just that simple. Okay? Father, we thank you for the first.